you've ever actually seen the video for that song from Duran Duran, Girls on Film, then you can understand what many girls are reacting to, especially when they petitioned 17 magazine. We're exposed to tens of thousands of images on a yearly basis of women in various states of undress. More often than not, those images are photoshopped. They're altered to make the women look more ideal, more perfect. And more lately, the discussion among women, at least, and probably among men as well, has been about how to stop that from happening and what effect photoshopping has on women's own image of themselves, what they should see themselves when they look in the mirror. So, this week, 17 Magazine released a body piece treaty. It promises to celebrate every kind of beauty and never alter the shape of a girl's face or body. And it was a response to an online petition that was started by a teenager, signed by almost 100,000 girls, that asked the magazine to give girls images of real girls. Started by a 14-year-old, Julia Bloom, and now her friend, 16-year-old Karina Cruz, has started a similar petition, this time targeted at Teen Vogue. Karina joins us from Queens, New York. So wonderful to speak with you, Karina.
Hi, it was wonderful to speak with you, too.
What are you asking Teen Vogue to do?
Well, we really want them to follow in the steps of 17. Now that 17 came out and said that they were going to promise not to use Photoshop anymore, we're hoping that we could get Teen Vogue to do the same, especially since they're both a couple of the top teen magazines in the country right now. So that's really what we're hoping for.
Why this issue, Karina? Out of all the different issues that you could be an activist for, even just issues affecting women, why photoshopping pictures?
Well, this problem has always been very personal to me, just the problem of body image. I mean, I've always struggled with it, and I know family members and friends, like, it's a universal problem, and I think that the media really doesn't help to fix that problem. I mean, using Photoshop to create what they feel is a perfected, beautiful woman makes it harder for readers to be able to relate to the people in their magazines and to really feel beautiful about themselves when they see these women in the magazines that even the media doesn't feel that they're perfect. They need to use Photoshop to fix them. So, you know, it's really to help women and teenagers start feeling better about themselves instead of feeling bad about themselves when they leaf through a magazine.
Also with us this morning, Emily Rems, a managing editor of Bust Magazine. And Emily, you and your team have repeatedly supported efforts to celebrate a diverse background, diverse body types among women. One of your biggest fans, Tina Fey, who wrote in her memoir, Bossy Pants, "No magazine has done a better job of leaving her looking beautiful and intact after a photo shoot." So nice work.
Hey, thanks.
What do we know about the way that photoshopping images, what effect that has on women? I mean, they didn't Photoshop before there was Photoshop, right? Is there a difference now between the way women see themselves in magazines from the 1950s or 40s as opposed to now?
Well, what we do know between the 1950s and now is that the amount of dissatisfaction that younger and younger girls feel about their bodies is astronomically higher now than it was then. And it has so much to do with the media that they're exposed to. One can't help but see a correlation. The founder of Bust Magazine, Debbie Stoller, has a PhD in the psychology of women from Yale. And she really started the magazine to try to combat the negative influence of media, especially on young girls.
When magazines defend the use of Photoshop,
mm-hmm.
And they say, well, look, we're just trying to create a great picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that not reasonable?
There is such a thing as responsible Photoshop, which Tina Fey mentioned in her book. She mentioned that we will take out the armpit stubble. If you have a blemish, we'll remove it just to make you look like you would on your best possible day. I think that is an example of responsible Photoshop, to leave the person intact, but to maybe smooth out some of the smaller, like, not necessary to see imperfections that would, you know, something that wouldn't necessarily affect someone's body image. But then there's a lot of irresponsible Photoshop that some of the larger mainstream women magazines use, where they're changing the contour of women's faces, changing their bodies. Sometimes you'll see a Photoshop disaster where someone has a missing leg or something, where they're really just going bonkers trying to create a human that doesn't actually exist.
I couldn't even believe they even photoshopped Kate Middleton in photos of her getting married. That I just could not believe. So, Karina Cruz, let me go back to you. You've started this petition against Teen Vogue. What kind of conversations do you have this among yourself And your friends, do you feel like many of your friends don't feel good about the way they look?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've had so many conversations where my friends would be like, oh, you know, I'm fat or something like that. And it's exactly the same girls who carry around these teen magazines every single day, and they order it every single month. So, you know, there's obviously a connection between the insecurities that teen girls are feeling and then looking at these magazines at the same time.
But is it entirely their fault, Karina? Is there other things at play here besides just the pictures in the magazines?
No, I mean, the media is a big part of it, but, you know, there's, of course, our own individual insecurities of how we feel when we look in the mirror. There's, you know, kids making fun of each other, you know, because, you know, kids could be mean sometimes.
Yeah, there's that.
I mean, there's so many different factors to teenagers feeling bad about themselves, but, you know, the media doesn't help.
Well, Emily, it feels to me, just with based on no empirical evidence, that this conversation is beginning to change, that 17 is just one victory among a number of them. Is that true?
I think so. And I would actually encourage young activists like Julia and Karina to not only focus their attention on the publications, but something that I didn't really realize until I started working in the magazine industry is that so much of what you see in terms of the same kind size and shape of woman appearing over and over again in magazines has everything to do with sample sizes. That fashion houses that provide the clothing to the magazines to show in their editorial spreads don't want their clothing to be featured on anybody over, say, like a size 2 or a size 4. So say you're a magazine like Bust that really is endeavoring for the last 20 years to celebrate every kind of beauty. We would love to have every single kind, size and shape of model, and we have. But when we're out there with our fashion editors trying to procure clothes for our magazine, and the industry, the fashion industry that provides those clothes says, no, we will not give you a sample above this size, and
wow,
it's that way across the board, that's how you end up with this homogenous view of fashion over and over and over again.
So there you go, Karina. There's your next petition. What kind of response have you gotten from Teen Vogue, Karina?
I don't think we've really heard of anything yet, and I've spoken to other reporters who have tried to get comments from them, and they haven't heard anything yet. But we're definitely going to keep going until something changes.
And where can they sign your petition if they want to?
You could go to www.change.org/teenvogue, and all you have to do with a click of a button and sign up.
Karina Cruz, 16-year-old, started a petition to Teen Vogue to get them to stop altering the shapes of girls and women featured in the magazine. And Emily Rams, managing editor of Bust Magazine. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.